This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
God, this morning we are just aware once again, Lord, that we are so dependent on you, Lord. God, just when we think we are okay, then we realize again soon after that, Lord, that we need you, Lord. And then this morning we are praying, God, that you will speak to us, God, and that you will open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we will see, Lord, that our blind eyes will open, Lord, wherever we are still blinded, Lord. And most of all, God, that we will know your love this morning, God, because your love changes us, Lord, and nothing else, Lord. And God, this morning we are not looking for religion, Lord. We are pursuing your heart, Lord. Father, and will you speak through me this morning, Lord, despite of me, Lord, and God, we worship you, Lord. You are the beginning and the end, Lord. You are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. You are everything that you say you are, Lord, and we believe that. And we worship you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I would like to read a scripture from Matthew 11. And I am going to read it in the Amplified Bible. From Matthew 11, verse 16 to 19. Just want to find it here. And, you know, this is typically one of those scriptures that you read and you think, what? And then you either try and find out what it means or you just move on. I have a tendency, if I don't understand scripture, just to move on. To be honest, only if I really feel pressed, I will try and find out what it means. I feel my life is already challenging, so if I don't understand scripture, I generally move on, unless I feel the Holy Spirit really wants me to understand it. So I want to read from Matthew 11, verse 16 to 19, and I just want to say that as I was preparing for this word, I experience something that I feel I want to share, but I'm not sure. I basically come to church with scriptures and nothing else. I don't really know how to share it, and I'm always trusting God to be able to somehow come out with it, to find the word. So sometimes it's easier, but what I'm wanting to share this morning is a bit difficult for me to verbalize, but I'm trusting God that I will be able to. So Matthew 11, verse 16 to 19. So just to give some context, John the Baptist, as many of us will know, he's called the greatest prophet. And he's actually an Old Testament prophet, because he was still, you know, prophesying about Jesus, and then Jesus came. And the Bible says the two greatest prophets, John the Baptist was the greatest prophet, and then Jesus, obviously, the Son of God. And John the Baptist did what he had to do, being Jesus' cousin and everything. He prepared the way, he baptized people, the baptism of repentance, and then he went to prison. So there he was in prison, not a very nice way for a great calling to end, and he ended up beheaded. But before he was beheaded, he sent these disciples, because he also had disciples and people who were following him. He sent these disciples to Jesus and to question. And it seems like he was doubting with very good reason. We should never judge the people in the Bible. We would probably be exactly the same. So with very good reason, he was doubting. And he was perhaps angry, upset. He was in prison. Things were not looking up for him. And he sent word to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah, or are we waiting for someone else? So Jesus answers him, and I'm not going to read that, but then Jesus says this strange thing in Matthew 11, verse 16. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like little children sitting in the marketplaces who call to their playmates. We piped to you playing wedding, and you did not dance. We wailed dirges playing funeral, and you did not mourn and beat your breasts and weep aloud. For John came neither eating nor drinking with others, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking with others, and they say, behold, a glutton and a wine drinker, a friend of tax collectors, and especially wicked sinners. Yet, wisdom is justified and vindicated by what she does, her deeds, and by her children. So, Jesus speaks about John, and then he moves on, and then he says, so how shall I speak about this generation? He says, this generation are like children. So many of us have children. Those who do not have children surely have experienced children at some point in your lives. So children play games, and children tend to play what we do to live, to earn money, to be good citizens and to be good people. So children play office, or they play mommy, or daddy, or whatever. That's what children do. And you know, they don't realize that it's not a game really. But anyway, that's completely besides the point. To them, it's still so innocent. So Jesus says this generation, it's like a bunch of kids, and they sit and they say, let's play wedding. And there are some other children there, and they say, no, we don't want to play wedding. And then they think of something completely the opposite, which is obviously a funeral. I'm sure you will agree that a wedding and a funeral are quite opposites. And then they say, okay, let's play funeral. And the other kids say, nah, we don't really want to play that either. So there are these children, and they look like they want to engage. They look like they want to play. They seem like they want to play, but neither one of those games is what they want to play. It's not what they want. Nothing is really good enough for them. And then Jesus says, well, here is John the Baptist. He came. So now we must understand that the reason why we have, well, I suppose there are many reasons that I don't even know. I'm not a theologian, but the reason why these are an Old Testament and a New Testament is because everything that happened in the New Testament, everything surrounding Jesus, was prophesied in the Old Testament. So the Jews, they were waiting for John the Baptist. They were waiting for the Son of God. It's been prophesied. They taught it to their children. They were devoted, committed, religious people, and they believed these prophecies, and they were waiting for it. They were expecting it. So now John the Baptist came, and Jesus says, and he was not good enough for you. So John the Baptist came, and they say, look at him, he's just weird. I mean, he lives in the desert, he's hardly dressed properly, he eats grasshoppers, he doesn't mingle with the people, he's just downright weird. And that is not what we want. That's not what we want. We don't want someone that is just, he probably has a demon. I don't know what kind of demon they thought, I don't know. But he probably has a demon. He's just too weird, and we cannot listen to him. We cannot follow him. You know, he doesn't even come out and just spend time with us. He's just so different. And then Jesus comes, and then Jesus is quite the opposite. Jesus, on the other hand, comes, and he goes, being a Jew, and he sits with those, you know, in Afrikaans, the scripture here in Afrikaans says they call Jesus a wynsuiper. I thought that was quite funny. I hope nobody ever calls me a wynsuiper. So he comes and now they come and Jesus comes, and he never sinned, as we all know, but he comes and he's the opposite. He mingles with the people. He had a sort of a normal, you know, a normal way of going around and eating with people and chatting to people and being one of them. And he would go and sit with the sinners, and he would not get drunk, but he would be with those people who would get drunk and who would smoke and who would fatazol or fatukol and who would swear. And he spent time with them and with people who did not do those things. And now the Jews come and the religious ones, the more religious, the worse almost. And they say, well, look at him. He cannot be the Son of Man. He's an alcoholic man. He drinks. And he hangs with the wrong kind of people. He's a wynsuiper. And then they say, that is not what we want. This cannot be the Son of God. This is not what we wanted. John the Baptist, no. Jesus, no. And here we see something extraordinary. We see a generation, and I'm quite aware of generations. I believe many of us are, and why God would pick a certain person for a certain generation. I'm always intrigued that God picked me for this generation. I often feel that I don't fit into the generation of technology, but anyway, that's completely besides the point. Here is a generation, and they have the incredible privilege. Are we listening? They have the incredible privilege to experience the greatest prophet that ever lived, John the Baptist. And then they have the even more incredible privilege. They have the privilege to experience the Son of God, Jesus, love personified in the flesh. And what do they do? What do they do? What do those Jews do? They say, no, it's not what we want. Not what we expected. And some Jews are still not believing, many, most, I think. It's not what we wanted. You know, and I, once again, we look at the people in the Word of God and we think, gladly I'm not like that. And we should be very careful. And then we see that powerful last sentence that says in verse 19, yet wisdom is justified and vindicated by what she does, her deeds, and by her children. Then we see there, but wisdom will be manifested, wisdom will be shown through those who are not blind. And how will it show? It will show through their lives. It will show through their lives. So we see that a few people can see. We see Jesus call the disciples and they say to each other, man, I'm telling you, this is the Messiah. This is him. We see that already in the womb of Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, they are cousins. I have cousins. I love them to bits. I love visiting them. I can just imagine this, both pregnant, visiting each other. And John the Baptist, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, is leaping because he recognizes the baby in Mary's womb, the Son of God. This is profound stuff. And here are the people, the privileged generation, who can see both of these men alive in action. But they are blind. They are blinded. And my message this morning is, God, can you open our blind eyes? I want to read another scripture from Matthew 16, verse 1 to 4. Sorry, I'm not extremely organized here with my Bibles and everything. But it's okay. Matthew 16, verse 1 to 4. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees, can we have that picture? See, that's just a nice image of Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Thank you. We can move on to the scripture. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. So Jesus says to them, you know, you have this ability to predict the weather. You look at the sky and you say, it's like this or like that, so the weather will be like this or like that. We used to do that, but now we Google it, right? We don't even look outside. We just grab the phone. I think that's wrong, but anyway, that's what we do. But, you know, always people have been watching the weather, and still, you know, if someone lived in one place for a long time, they will say, oh, no, you know, now the when this wind blows, then it's going to rain there, whatever, those kinds of things. I'm not good with that. But so Jesus says to them, you know how to read the signs of the weather, but yet you are not able, you don't have the ability to read the signs of the times. So here you have the greatest prophet, the Son of God, but you are not able to see, you are not able to read the signs of the times because you are blinded. And I want to speak about that this morning. You know, I remember when Anton and I became, when we were born again, and I just gave my life to Jesus in 1995, and I had a radical change in my life. And then I met Anton, and we got married. And those were also the first years of Shofar. And we were privileged to experience a church plant and everything that came with it, being students. And I remember in those times we had so many words and prophecies, all of us that were there. We would worship until late at night. We would have all these many, many intercessions and prayer meetings. And we had lots of prophecies over each other, and there was so much, and also for me and Anton, and there was so much prayed over us and prophesied over us. And we were very excited. We were so excited. We were going to change the world for God. And we got married, as I said, and we started living our lives. And it started out quite exciting. We started pastoring a church in Franschhoek. And then things changed a little bit. And then things became really tough. And then all these prophecies and all these words seem to fade away. And for many years, it felt like we were just, you know, we were doing what we had to do. But somehow, it just did not seem so real anymore. And we just, you know, kept on doing what we're doing, worship God, seek His face, do the work of the ministry. But somewhere along the line, we realized things might not be as we expected them to be. We have a specific idea. We have a specific perspective. We already thought it out how it is going to be. And it does not seem like this is the way that it is going. And I realized something. I realized that preconceived ideas will blind us. Because it is not like we thought it was going to be. But this is the way that it is. I hope that will liberate us this morning. John the Baptist comes. He is not what they expected him to be. And then even much worse, Jesus comes. And he does not come as a king on a horse with a sword, relieving Israel from the severe oppression. No, he does not come as a strong man and an authority figure. What a massive disappointment. What a massive disappointment. He comes as a baby. There's nowhere to be born. And he's born in a stable. Some people say it was actually a cave, like a stable, a cave that was made into a stable. I don't know. I mean, every woman here who has given birth will know that you would rather do it in on a bed. You know, you'd rather be more comfortable. And no, I cannot imagine riding on a donkey when I already have contractions. I mean, that's just unbearable. Cannot imagine. He comes into this world and immediately they have to flee because his life is in danger. They have to flee to Egypt. It's not the way it was supposed to be. Then he grows up. He's just a simple man that works with wood. Yes, that. And then he starts just, and then he starts picking the people that should walk with him. And they are not the people that he should have picked in our minds and in the minds of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they cannot. This is not what they wanted. This is not what they expected. This is not what the Messiah should look like. And I want to bring this home this morning because we look at our lives, we look in the mirror. You know, I look in the mirror and I'm pretty confident about my appearance, but sometimes I look in the mirror and I think, this is not what I planned on looking like at age 44. You know? We look at our marriages, we look at our finances, we look at our family, we look at our jobs, and we say to ourselves, this is not what it was supposed to be. This is not how I planned for it. This is not how I was thinking it was going to be. And the liberating news this morning is, that is exactly it. It never is. And we should not allow this to blind us because God says, I want you to read the signs of the times and I want you to have understanding. And the people who could walk away from their preconceived ideas and who could open themselves up to a king that is simple and humble and hang out with the sinners and ended up being crucified. Those were the people. Those were the people who could have that unbelievable joy and privilege of recognizing the signs of the times and living life in abundance in that context. And my message this morning is, are we living life in abundance in this context that God has given us? Because we should not be blinded. I want to read from John 1, verse 11. I'll just read it from the screen. And this speaks about Jesus. He came to that which was his own, that which belonged to him, his world, his creation, his possession. And those who were his own people, the Jewish nation, did not receive and welcome him. I often think about that movie that Richard van den Berg made in Paul and at the Rhodes Memorial. I'm sure some of you have seen it. The movie is called Matthew, and it's directly the words from the Bible. And in that movie, the character who is Jesus in the movie, he's there at the temple, which was shot at the Rhodes Memorial. And he looks at the Jews and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he looks at them and he starts weeping. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not allow me. You would not let me. And he sobs bitterly. He weeps. And you know, God says, I want you to understand that I want to gather you under my wings. And I want to touch your eyes. And I want you to see. I want you to see my hand on your life. I want you to see how I am moving in your midst. You know, those who decided to follow Jesus had to take on real humility because they were not popular. And when Jesus went to the cross, they simply ran away. They ran away with very good reason because they feared for their lives. Many Jews were crucified. The only disciple who stayed at the cross was John, not John the Baptist, John the beloved disciple. He was the only one who remained. They ran for their lives. And what about Peter? Three times he denies Jesus. You know, they were labeled. And the rest of the Jews says, yes, crucify him. He's a vain saper and a glutton and he says that he's God. Crucify him. And those who really followed him had to take on great humility and great courage. And they had to understand that this is not the way that we expected it to be. We did not ever expect him to be crucified. It's not what we wanted. It's not what we saw. And then just before he goes up to heaven, they say, are you going to do it now, Lord? Are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Still. And then he left. And then they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. And what happened when the Holy Spirit came? Wonderful things happened. Tongues of fire. They started speaking in tongues. People got healed and delivered. And then all hell broke loose. And great suffering came. Great suffering came to the church. And when Paul and Peter and the apostles are in prison, it's much worse than the South African prisons. It's dungeons with rats. And before they go in there, they are martyred. Hulle word gegeesel. They sit there half dead, bleeding, almost bleeding to death. It all hell broke loose. Because God said, I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. God says, it's never the way that you think it is going to be. Open your eyes. Find that humility that you need and allow me to do whatever is necessary in your life to bring you to that place of humility where you can see. The Pharisees and the Sadducees could not humble themselves to the point where they could see, but the poor fishermen, they could. They were also waiting for the promise. They were also waiting for the Messiah. They did not nearly have the knowledge that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had, but they had faith and hope, and they were waiting. And when he came, they could recognize him. We should recognize the signs of the times generally, and even for our own lives personally. We should understand. And how do we do that? We do that by pressing in with God. Not by Facebook or Instagram or even News 24. We do it by pressing in with God. And when we do that, we are able to understand. And I know this sermon is a little bit of a thing to figure out. I understand that. I am trusting that we will be able to go home and meditate on the Word of God and understand the Word of God. But I have learned in my walk with God to go very low on my knees to be able to see. And to accept the things that are not as they should have been, as I wanted them to be, as I preconceived them to be, is because God's ways are much higher than my ways. And God wants me in great humility to seek his face and to see him. And when we see him, we can see so much further. When our blinded eyes are open, we live in a time when it is very hard to truly follow the Lord. And we should see that. You know, I am so aware of the fact, and I had a sermon here a couple of months ago, when was it, last year, about knowledge. And the fact that Satan is trying to steal our children. He's trying to steal our time. He's trying to steal our priorities. And if we don't press in with God, if we don't press in with God, we will be blind and we will be stolen from. We will be. It's inevitable. It is inevitable. But when we press in with him and we cry out to him every single time and we make him trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, we make him our everything, then our eyes open and we can see. You know, I look at my life with Anton and five children, and I can see what God wanted to do over the past 20 years. I can see the humility that he wanted to bring. I can see the character that he wanted to build. I can see that it never was about us wanting to do things for God. It's about God wanting to do things in us to make us more like Jesus. And I can see that God, as a generation, God put us here to be very strong and courageous. Because we are not physically being persecuted, but man, we are being hunted. We are being hunted. If you don't realize that, go and spend time with God. Every single thing is competing for our passion and our love. Everything, money, status, prestige, for our time, pride. It is demanding from us to be blind. And we should actively choose and pursue the humility for our eyes to be opened. I hope that makes sense. I want to read another scripture from Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 19. Therefore, I also, and this is Paul speaking, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I would like to read verse 18 from the Amplified Bible. It's just the next slide. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You know, what the Word of God is saying here is, I want your spiritual eyes to open. That's why I have a light bulb there, by the way. I want you to see. And I don't know about you, but I have experienced that to be able to continuously see with my spiritual eyes, I need to continuously press in with God. That is why the Word says, meditate on him. That is why the Word of God says, never cease to pray. How do you never cease to pray? You are constantly crying out to God. I have found we had a difficult couple of last 2-3 years, and I really battled. And I have found that I'm reaching out to God, but it's as if I just cannot get to him. I'm sure you understand what I mean. And I have learned that I need to worship. I need to sing out loud sometimes. This is called warfare. This is called, God, I am pressing in with you, and I will press in with you, because the enemy flees. This is my personal experience, and I don't know if anybody here shares that. If I start speaking out loud and singing out loud, for me especially, the enemy runs. You know, and I see a picture. This is not a vision from God. This is my imagination, but I'm sure it's quite biblical. I see just a picture of Satan and the hordes of hell. And Satan says, fear, I release you. And fear runs in amongst us and spreads like a disease, contagious. And then Satan says, anxiety, I release you. And a wave of anxiety comes to the children of God. And everything else, sickness, disease, bondage, condemnation, there's one for you. Condemnation, go and just suffocate them with guilty feelings. I don't know if this is your experience, but it certainly is mine, and I might experience it more intensely, but I'm sure we all have. And then we can do either one of two things. We can submit under these demonic forces that wants to infiltrate our midst and wants to come into our houses, and not just at your front door. They want to come into your kitchen where you cook. They want to come into your office where you work. They want to come into your bedroom where you are intimate with your husband or your wife. Want to come in where your children are playing games that are not good for them. Steal them. Because they never ever walk away from the screen. Or they see how many likes they have on Facebook and it's destroying them because they're too young to deal with rejection. And we need to understand that there is a way out, and that is just to worship. Sometimes there are no words to pray. Have you experienced that? So I don't know what you do, but I take that laptop and I call the children, and if my husband is there, I call everyone. If he's not there, I call the children. He's been away quite often this year. And I say, we are going to worship now. I don't care what you are busy with. I don't care if you don't feel like doing it. We are going to worship now because Satan wants into this house. And we put the music on with the words, with the lyrics, and we sing out loud. And then I say, you are going to pray for me now. And they all say, oh, I don't want to. I say, I don't care. I'll force you. Joshua bid. I don't know what. Ek sê vir jou sê wat jy moet bid. Bid agter my aan. God, help vir mama. And I will pray for you. And we will press in with God. Because we will not be blinded. We will see. Why? Because can we go back to Ephesians, the New King James Version? We will see, because we need to understand, if we can go to the next script, the next slide, the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. You don't see that if you don't press in with God. You don't see that if you are not humble. You don't feel that or ever experience that if you don't cry out to him. You don't see that if you are blind. And blessed were Mary and Martha and Peter and John, who could see the resurrected Christ right in front of their eyes. My word, I wish I could experience that. Who could see the power of God, who could experience the power of God. Blessed were they. Blessed are those whose eyes are opened. This is my prayer this morning. It is my prayer for me and my husband and my children and my family. And it is my prayer for you and your family, that we will see. And can I say something? There's not one of us here, and I am ending. There's not one of us here exempt from that. Not one. There's not one of us here who can say, well, I am so far away from the will of God, it's too late for me. You are blinded if that is what you believe. You are blind if that is what you believe. You are blind. Because God is greater. And we must press in with him. And I cannot do that for you. You need to do it for yourself. Nobody can do it for us. We need to do it for ourselves. We need to press in with God. And I promise you. Can I make a promise? Which we shouldn't do lightly. If you seek him, you will find him. But not if you are proud. You will not find him. If you are humble, you will find him and you will experience him. Amen. Can we close our eyes? Lord, this morning we come to you, God, like Peter, Lord, who was frail and weak. But not blind, Lord. Not blind, Lord. Even in all his weaknesses, he could still see. And Lord, even though he was humbled severely by his own weakness, Lord, He could still see you, the resurrected Christ. He could still be baptized with your Holy Spirit. He could still pray for people and see their lives changed forever. Lord, and this morning we don't come as accomplished people. We come just as we are, Lord. God, but we do not want to be blind. We want to press in with you, Lord. We want to press in with you. We want to worship you. We want to seek your face. We want to be obedient to you, Lord. We want to know you, Lord, and the great calling, Lord. God, many of us here, we don't know what a great calling is, Lord. We don't know what that means, Lord. Will you open our eyes? Will you open our hearts? Lord, and we want to tell you that, God, and we don't say, I don't say this lightly, Lord, and I pray on behalf of those who agree with me, Lord, but we want to allow you, Lord, to bring us to that place of humility, Lord, where you can minister to us, Lord, because we can see, Lord, we can see. We can see, Lord. God, we don't want to be the generation who cannot recognize and see the truth. We want to be the generation who can recognize and see the truth and live abundantly in that context, Lord. I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet, those who want to. And I want to ask this is between us and God. And just as we worship, just speak to God. Speak to God about your own eyes. Speak to God about your own blindness. And I want to extend an invitation while we are doing that. If you want prayer for disillusionment, fear, anger, sickness, whatever it may be, you are most welcome to come and we will pray with you. That is why we have church, so that we can come alongside each other, carry each other's burdens. But if you are not coming forward, then just use the next 5 minutes just to speak to God about your own eyes. Let's worship.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.